Today is December 18th. It's about 12 o'clock. And can you state your name?
My name is Herbert Altshuler.
All right, and I'm Brittany Sebowitz. And we're in Queensbury, New York. Where were you and when were you born?
6-6-24 in Newark, New Jersey.
And where did you go to high school?
In Newark, Southside High School.
And you grew up in the Great Depression, am I right?
Well, yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I can just tell you that I didn't know it was a depression because it was very natural for me as a kid living in a very frugal household that never felt deprived. We had no luxuries, but what we played with and what we did with and what we did were just great. We just didn't. Our parents were the ones that were working it out, but for myself, it really wasn't anything that was tremendous for me.
Yeah, so it didn't affect you that
it
much?
It affected me, but I thought that
but
was
you didn't
normal.
Realize it at the time?
No.
And what was your pre-war education like? Like, did you go to college before?
I went after service. I went through school.
So you just finished high school before you went into service?
Actually, before I went to service, I was taking a course in surveying in Tampa University in Tampa, Florida, and it was a surveying course. And I was living at that time in a rooming house when Pearl Harbor broke out, and we were eating. I remember the morning that before Pearl Harbor, there might have been at the table 16 or so men who ate breakfast together and took their brown bags for lunch and went to work. And the next morning after Pearl Harbor, there might have been 4 or 5 of us. The rest had all joined up because when it happened, the whole country just became part of one big effort. In a war effort, and there was no, it was our war, and these young men did that. But I was young, and while I was taking the course at Tampa U, the person who was giving it, who was a dredging captain, was surveying 600 acres out at Lake Tenoma Sassa, and he needed someone to help him just hold the rods, and he said, do you guys want to make any extra money? And I volunteered. So I became his assistant, and we mapped 600 acres out between Tampa and Plant City. And he got called out on a job to do, and he asked me if I would take over. Mm-hmm. And so I mapped this property and got this great experience with this dredging company. In fact, I ended up in a dredge in Key West and even on a tugboat, and then I joined the Marine Corps.
So were you drafted or were you enlisted?
I didn't let them draft me. I enlisted and was enlisted in Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. And I took my basic training up at Parris Island. And in Parris Island, which I don't know how familiar everyone was with the boot camp, but Parris Island was quite an experience. It took you as a civilian and made you a Marine, and you found out that everything you did before was not the way the Marines did it. You better learn how to do the Marines. And so I took my basic course. And in training, when you're going through basic training, which is really amazing how it gets you in condition and conditions you mentally and physically, at the end, they test you, and then decide where they're going to put you. And being I had this experience as a surveyor at Tampa, I got into the Marine Corps Engineers in Camp Lejeune. Mm-hmm. And in Camp Lejeune, I did this intensive surveying course that the military, the Marine Corps, put out. And there was a group of about 15 of us, who took the course, and at the end of the course, they awarded stripes to the, I think the one sergeant and a few, two corporals and about four PFCs that got awarded out of this class. And being I had that head start, I wasn't the smartest guy there. It's just that I had the experience before. And I came out of that as a sergeant. Mm-hmm. And I then was given a platoon of men, and every 6 weeks I would get a new group of men and march them from class to class in the engineering battalion. And at the end of that 6 weeks, we went out and bivouacked out at the beach and set up defenses and then came in from the water and blew them up. But during the course of this 6 weeks, we also got every 6 weeks a new lieutenant who was in charge of the platoon, and they would come out of Quantico. These were guys who would come out of college and had no military training other than the training they got at Quantico, and they came down with really very well disciplined ideas with no experience, really. And I can remember in the middle of one of these training periods, this lieutenant taught the guys in the afternoon how to make a little raft out of crossing their rifles and using their ponchos and putting their helmets between their cross rifles and the poncho. Wow. For buoyancy. And the next night he marched us out to a river, a canal, and we lined up and we were going to go through this procedure of going across the water. And it looked a little scary to me. And there was a bridge up there, and I remember telling the platoon that if any of you don't swim, you better go up over the bridge. And, but a couple of guys did that, and the lieutenant went in first, and then they went in groups, and they, as they went in, the corporal that I had was in second on the side, and I was coming up in the back. I never got in the water, mm-hmm. because as soon as they got about halfway through, there was people yelling for help. And I can remember losing the first time I saw, in my active duty, a loss of life. And this guy just grabbed, got panicky, the guy who was with him, he tried to drag down, but we lost. Part of training, being it was always done quickly and it was during wartime, these things happened. Mm-hmm. And on one of these bivouacs out at the beach, we built a defense, and then we then attacked the defense. They would always have up on the high part of the beach visitors watching this go on. It was, you know, kind of fascinating. See rubber boats come in and young Marines attack it with a firing squad with organized. And the culmination of that was taking a TNT pack after the firepower had put down the defense and blowing it up. And these TNT packs were like a knapsack full of TNT, mm-hmm. and it had a cap and a fuse and a starter. And these things, you went to 180 degrees so that when you hit the starter into the fuse, it then went around, you had time to get back. And this young man with the pack went up, but he, for some reason or other, did not have his 180 degrees, pulled the starter, and blew himself up. And that was another horror that was just, to me, the beginning of understanding that just training, mm-hmm. War began worse. But anyway, I spent the time there, and after I was then sent to the 4th Marine Division in Maui.
Now, just to jump back a little, do you remember exactly when you enlisted, and why did you choose the Marines?
Well, you know, it's easy to answer that for you, because I have it right in front of me in my very pretty discharge paper, and it has the dates on it, and I think I enlisted in April 1943.
And why did you choose the Marines out of any other branch?
Well, I decided that if I was going to do it, I was going to try and figure out where I would be in an active participant. And if the Marine Corps was a good place to be, it struck me as where I might do my best.
Yeah. And did you, at the time when you joined, did you know that you were going to have to go to the Pacific?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know it. I didn't know where I was going to go. I knew I was going into service, and I joined, and I ended up going with the 4th Marine Division.
And when you went to the Pacific, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. On Maui, I was placed with a reserve battalion, and I had a platoon. I was immediately given a platoon to prepare. But you know, even though I had this specialty in surveying, I was actually in mapping, I had to take on the responsibility of actually bringing in a platoon of fighting Marines. And so we trained on Maui, and then we took off for to Iwo. I remember very clearly how dramatic it was. Just the morning I woke up and went by for breakfast, and seeing for the first time TV screens with all these silhouetted ships, and the beach. It was quite an impressive thing, going on up on deck and seeing as far as you could see in a circle of 180 degrees, nothing but ships lined up, and battleships and destroyers, carrier cruisers, all these just throwing in bombs right into this little island, and you wondered how possibly anybody would be there. And I think the leadership thought so too. They really thought they pulverized this island, but it was amazing to see the armada of ships that were just lined up around this little island, just pounding in, and it was very impressive. I also was impressed with the fact that when you went through for breakfast, you could have steak and eggs. You could eat all you wanted, because that was going to be your last meal. I didn't go in on the first wave. And I can remember very clearly watching the guys getting loaded onto the boats that were coming alongside and coming down the ladder, the netting. And I remember seeing a guy slip and getting crushed between a landing craft and the ship. And I also remember very clearly that night when we pulled out, and the burial of sea of that young man who we had service on deck, and a bugle, and a few words, and him being slipped over the side, that, you know, that again, before you went into battle, you were introduced to the reality of war. I went in on the following day with a reserve, this reserve platoon, and Iwo kind of gash, and you sunk in over your ankles and further as you hit the beach. Now, the Japanese had registered all their weaponry onto the beach, so you were there, you were just sitting ducks, and the idea was get in and go as far as you could get in. And I remember doing that, and I remember that night in a, well, call it a foxhole, it was actually a hole that was caused by one of their large mortars that had been lying there. Mm-hmm. And a recon came by, a recon, a small little vehicle, which was loaded with rockets, and it was dark, and he pulled up alongside of where I was dug in, and holding on to my rifle, scared as hell. Mm-hmm. And he let go of all of his rockets, which flashed and made a big bright spot. After he let all of his rockets go, he just drove off, and I think this was the end. These guys were just register on me. Yeah. But I was lucky. It didn't happen. And I remember waking up the next morning, and my platoon, there was an officer with a clipboard with all their names, and he then assigned them to where they were to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was very lucky that I had the expertise that was of training, because when he came to me, he says, "Sergeant, there's a hole up at the regimental headquarters for your it was a matter of setting up a baseline and making exact notations of where things were on the map, and for firing of the artillery. I remember seeing the flag being raised in Mount Suribachi, and I remember the thing that impressed me most, I guess, it was the last day I was there. And I sat and watched the ceremony of the cemetery, where the men were just, where bulldozers had just cleared a flat spot, and the guys were laid in and surveyed, and there was a flagpole, and they used dogs for bringing messages back from the front forward observers to the firing of them and their units in the back, and that's where they had the dogs lined up around the flagpole, I remember, where they were buried. Mm-hmm. And I was, and you see, when you see a large area of your men just lined up, and you left with that impression. The scariest part was the smartest guys that were in my outfit didn't come back. Some of the dope-offs, guys who were trying to hedge at times, there were very few of those. But those guys, it always scared me, because a lot of those guys came back too. So it, war is hell in that sense. You can be the brightest, the greatest, and you can also be a nobody. The nobody may come back, and the guy who has everything doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming aboard ship for the first time, the smell of fresh baked bread and taking a shower. Mm-hmm. That was a great, great experience. Mm-hmm. And from there, we went back to Iwo, back to Maui, I had a great week or two on Oahu at Waikiki Beach for some recreation. Mm-hmm. And I remember the 4th Marine Division was sent home. I couldn't go because I didn't have enough points. I only had this one operation. The 4th had gone and been there for day go. And so I went to a transfer up with Okinawa and then into China. Mm-hmm. And so I was with the 6th Marine Division in China in Tsingtao. I also very clearly remember pulling into the bay in the Yellow Sea in Tsingtao, slowly approaching and seeing all these little boats coming to greet us. And I was elated, look at this welcoming party. And as we got closer and closer, it was all these people just following the ship to pick up the garbage. That's all they were there for. It was a very sad, sad thing to see the Chinese themselves, the poverty and the situation there. I myself had great duty in Tsingtao, very, very cold. It was a winter, lived in a barracks with a little stove, I remember, fire stove. But I was detached. I worked with a CB unit doing some survey at the airfield in Tsingtao. But I used to go to services and I met some civilians and I had great dinners in town. And I remember this little Chinese boy who might have been 10 years old or younger, mm-hmm. who we took in, and he would carry our survey steaks and we'd take him into dinner, and he would, we'd always give him some food to take home. Mm-hmm. But his people were always waiting for him when he left. But I just never knew what happened to him, but I could just hope that he had a good beginning. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went back. I got into on the way home from Tsingtao on ship. We went to Shanghai and back. I had a case of hemorrhoids, and I went and spent my whole trip back in sick bay, and then went to a hospital in San Diego, and then was discharged from there. Mm-hmm. And because I was still a sergeant, they gave me a bunch of guys to be in charge of, to take them back to the East Coast on a train. I went to back to Camp Lejeune. Was discharged from there, I came home and went to school. Mm-hmm. On the GI Bill, married Harriet. Mm-hmm. And it was quite an interesting 3 years. Mm-hmm. I was actually in for exactly 3 years, to the month in service.
Were you in right till the end of the war?
Well, I was there The war wasn't over when I was discharged at South. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, when did the war end, actually? D-Day, not D-Day, but when V-Day. But it was 3 years then when I was discharged. And you know, on the GI Bill, we got married, and I remember I used to have had to use my discharge papers in order for us to buy furniture and to get rations and things. Mm-hmm. It was great, but it was a great experience.
I'm sure that you missed your family while you were away. Did you keep in contact with them a lot?
You know, I was a very poor communicator. In fact, they lost track of me for a while, and I would write back and they would send these, what they called the mail, which was a little photostatic thing that they would send. And they were good, and I would respond slowly, not very much. You couldn't say too much. In fact, there was a period there they didn't hear from me. I can remember, and I think it was when I was after EWO, and we were in the Red Cross found me. Because my parents were worried where the hell I was.
Yeah.
And so I didn't, I wrote very little. Mm-hmm. I didn't really communicate. I was not a good communicator.
Mm-hmm. And did you see a lot of combat in the 3 years that you were in the service?
Well, a lot of combat was that month on EWO.
Mm-hmm. And how did you feel about that?
I feel lousy about that. I feel war is one of the worst things anybody could have or be part of, and mm-hmm. if there's anything that you can convey, mm-hmm. is that war is something to be avoided, and anything that can be done to avoid war should be done.
Now, bringing that up, do you remember when you heard that the atomic bombs were dropped?
Yeah.
How did you feel about it?
We felt good, because yeah. it was, you know, we were, the next move, you know, would have been into
Japan,
into Tokyo or something. And we looked at it as a savior, not as I didn't have any philosophical feeling about the destruction, which I now do, which I now look at and saying that was very horrible. But yet, it was a thing that saved a lot of our lives.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember where you were and how you felt when you learned that the war was completely over?
Well, you know, when I was in China, which is where the last yeah. duty I have, I was having a good time in the sense that it was an interesting experience, sociologically, mm-hmm. Geographically. It was extremely interesting just to see that culture be part of it, and to have the opportunity to walk around Tsingtao and be amongst that community.
Mm-hmm. And I know that, obviously, because you were in the Pacific Theater of the War, that you didn't have a lot to do with the European Theater of War, but do you remember your feelings about the war in Europe?
My feelings about the war in Europe were there before I even joined.
Yeah.
Before I even got in. I can remember being Jewish. I was very aware of the persecution of what was happening mm-hmm. in Europe. So that part of it was an emotion. Mm-hmm. I can also remember back in Tampa when I was working on this surveying that I was doing up at Lake Tenoda Sasso. The home office was in Tampa. It was Henry Dredging Corporation, and I would take parts back whenever they broke down into there, and the machinists were all German, and having a name like Altschuler, they assumed I was German, and I can remember after I would get in there late, and I would wait until the parts were finished, and these guys, who were nice guys, older men, but they were, they would take me, come on home, and we'd have something to eat, and they would have their shortwave radio, and they were yeah. listening to the part that was coming from over there. Mm-hmm. My life, mm-hmm. and I did not, wasn't mad, upset, raring to go, or any of those emotions, mm-hmm. other than doing my job, mm-hmm. which I can look back and say how lucky I was, because it was a great, great experience for me, and I've used it and became successful in my life and my family, with my three sons, And I think it's all based on the character that I became out of that experience.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember hearing about the Japanese internment camps?
No.
You don't remember?
No, but you know, I just now, Harriet and I are listening to an audio book mm-hmm. on that experience. And you know, over the years, you've heard about it, read yeah. about it. It's a sad, sad thing. In fact, one of the things that, in relation to that, I only had one job in my life. I joined this one company out of college, and I only went to school for two years, mm-hmm. and during college for engineering, and I got a job with a heating and air conditioning company that had incentive things we sold, and I became part of management and so forth. And I went on these incentive trips, and one of these incentive trips was Japan. Mm-hmm. And we were going for 2 weeks. And 1 week we were with the corporation with a very planned itinerary, and then I took a week on our own and traveled through Japan, Harry and I. And I didn't know how I would feel, mm-hmm. you know, having lost and seen and what that experience was against the Japanese. But I came away feeling really good about these people, mm-hmm. how what a wonderful culture they were, and how that whole experience was healthy for me. It was not one that was negative. It was mm-hmm. very positive.
So being in World War II had a very positive impact on your life?
Oh, I would think so. Mm-hmm. To this day, you know, there are many, many times I can look back and think about that experience. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what the first things you did when you came back home?
Well, of course it was a reunion with my family, mm-hmm. Which was the most impressive thing. But I had dated Harriet just before I left, mm-hmm. and I can tell you some peculiar things about that. One of the things that Harriet worked in this office that my sister was an mm-hmm. office manager, and I was on leave once and came up and came down to the office and went into saw these young ladies in the office and picked Harriet to go out with. Mm-hmm. And so we dated very short mm-hmm. period of time. But you know, you're very, one of the things you do when you're in service, or I did anyway, you really contemplate what you really missed and how important life was. And you kind of, in my case, I settled in my head of where I wanted to go. I matured to the point of knowing pretty much where I wanted to go. And I came back, and very shortly said to Harriet that to marry her, I wanted to get married, and I asked her. And she kind of agreed. Her father didn't, but she did. Mm-hmm. And we got married. And it was that experience that really was my homecoming, was my engagement, my school. Mm-hmm. In fact, we got married on my Christmas vacation. Mm-hmm. And, whatever grades I got because I couldn't read my own handwriting, but Harriet would type all my notes for me.
And were you excited to go to college when you came back?
Beg your pardon?
Were you excited to go to college
Yes,
when you
I
came
was
back?
Excited in the sense that I knew I should try, knowing that the education was the important thing. Mm-hmm. It would help me.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I did. But, you know, after Harriet became pregnant, I went to work. Mm-hmm. And I only worked for one company. I started with them as a salesperson, became sales manager, became vice president of the company, and then became senior vice president of the company. So my entire experience of working and succeeding at putting three boys through college, mm-hmm. and being able to live this quality of life that I have here in Queensbury. And this mm-hmm. is a great retirement community. Mm-hmm. It was, it prepared me for that, and I stayed with that, and I had a wonderful, that's something that doesn't happen now. You know, most people have three and four employees in their, mm-hmm. in their experience, but I only had one great experience. Mm-hmm.
And did you go to college for a business, or
where? Oh, no, I went to an engineering course, mm-hmm. and went to work as a sales engineer in mm-hmm. the heating and air conditioning business.
And where did you go to college?
I went to college, New York College of Engineering. Mm-hmm.
And I know you said poor as hell, but there is a silver lining in everything. Did you have any like funny experiences during the war, like with your friends? And
well, I actually found service, other than that month on EWO, not a bad experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was prepared. I was fairly mature of having had the experience before working, that I was able to. I never felt that stressed, mm-hmm. other than that one time. Mm-hmm. The military did bother me. One, I had a great experience in scouting and in the outdoors that prepared me, I think. And as I look back, I look at the things I did. I all through service were interesting, mm-hmm. and great. If you're talking about did I have funny experiences, sure you mm-hmm. have funny. You've had funny experiences. Yeah. I've had funny experiences. But unique to the war?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think as far as funny. I've had
experiences that sticks out of your mind.
Well, as I told you, those experiences where I lost people in training mm-hmm. were amazing. The cultural experience in Tsingtao, China was amazing. Mm-hmm. I learned to smoke and drink and those kind of things that maybe with a bunch of guys and in a case of beer and putting booze in them and forgetting what the world was about, mm-hmm. That were just great rowdy times. But yeah. Basically, as far as the service was concerned, funny, no, it was mm-hmm. all, it was good. It mm-hmm. was not bad. Guys complain about the food. I enjoyed the food. And I enjoyed the physical part of doing it. A very funny thing occurred just recently. My grandson, who I gave my dress blues to many years ago, who was trim and thin, got into my suit, and I looked at him, and unbelievable that this young, sturdy, thin guy was perfect in my suit. You know, and I looked back and I said, well, I was in pretty good shape then. Mm-hmm. So it was easy for me. It really was. Service was not hard for me. It was not, I was never felt that I was struggling.
Mm-hmm. And were there any friends that you made during your time in the service that you kept afterwards?
No, in fact, I made it a point of not joining any of the veteran organizations, mm-hmm. and never trying to fight the war again. This program that you're in is the first opportunity I've had to even express those feelings. Mm-hmm. I've really not done them even with my own family. It's now first being recalled. I did not want to continue fighting the war. Mm-hmm. So I avoided that.
Yeah. Do you think that talking about it helps?
I really didn't need anything like that, mm-hmm. only because my life was interesting. Mm-hmm. I loved my work. I never felt, thinking back at what that short period of horror might have been, mm-hmm. I myself never got hit. I never got scratched. Mm-hmm. I just had a horrible, hard time, let's say, for a month. Mm-hmm. But that was the price I paid, and it never came back to haunt me.
So do you consider yourself lucky?
I consider myself very lucky.
And you said that you haven't been a part of any veteran organizations, but have you been to any reunions?
No, I don't do that at all. The only thing I do is when they have breakfast up here from the veterans on. I enjoy that because we have a great group of guys here.
And what do you think was your most memorable or the thing, a time in the service that had the biggest effect on your life? Anything specific?
Well, there's so many things that have a big effect on me as far as my future was concerned. One, it definitely gave me confidence in managing as a buck sergeant, having a platoon and successfully training people, which I did, was a great thing for me, for strength of who I was and having confidence in what I would do. That was the greatest thing that it did for me.
So you think that joining the military made you who you are today?
Well, not wholly, but certainly
a big part of it.
It was certainly laid the groundwork for mm-hmm. where I took off. Mm-hmm.
And is there anything else that you want to add or talk about?
No, I just think you're doing a good job.
I have a question. You said that when the atom bomb was dropped, like you were happy and you felt like that was like a good thing. Was there anybody that was like that you had known that was like your friend that was like upset about it, or was everybody happy?
Well, everything I knew was very positive, but again, it wasn't until later that you really took on the idea that people were slaughtered.
Yeah.
That came later, after service, after you matured. After you're talking about people that are 18, 19 years old.
Yeah, that's a relief.
They're not into that quite, not when you look at it like, we're winning the war. I mean, you're in there. One thing about, World War II was not one of these things where you question, is it right or is it wrong? Everybody was in it because we were attacked, and this was our country, and it was out of that loyalty and this emotion of protecting your country.
Yeah.
So here you are fighting a war that is, for all intents and purposes, a good war. You're happy to see us win. Later on, you type maybe sit back and philosophically look at the destruction and the horror of the atomic bomb.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I almost forgot to mention this. You said you had two brothers when I talked to you last time, right?
Yes, I had two brothers.
And one sister. Was a captain in the Army?
Yes, he never went overseas, though. He was he's a scientist who was doing ballistics.
Oh, okay.
He was actually a PhD in mathematics and physics. He's a very bright guy.
And did he enlist, or?
No, he went to Lehigh University, and at Lehigh, he was in the ROTC.
Mm-hmm.
So in the war, he automatically went and became an officer, and that was his progression. My younger brother, who was 5 years younger than I, my older brother's 5 years older than I, mm-hmm. my younger brother's 5 years younger, he never went overseas. He too was in an ROC program and went into the Navy, and he was out on the West Coast and never saw the action.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for talking with me and sharing your experiences.
I just hope it gets you a good grade.